and gifts so that they can give those back to the Lord. I do want to do something a little bit different as I get started here, not really related to the message, but I think that many of you know, have seen throughout the news and the media and everything else, that our world seems to be in a pretty chaotic moment right now. If there was any moment to pray, I think this would be a great time to do that. Because listen to me, church, though it seems that darkness may reign, the Lord reigns. Though it seems like chaos and things are out of control, God is always in control. And if there's one person that can do something about the chaotic and evil world that we live in, it is the Lord Almighty, who is the light of the world. If there's someone that can shine darkness on a dark world, or shine light on a dark world, it is the light of the living God, a loving God, Lord. And Lord, as we look out at the world and the darkness and the evil that we see so much, and it seems to be increasing and increasing, Lord, we know that your love abounds even more. We know your grace abounds even more. And Lord, I pray through even a tragedy like we have seen throughout this week, that you, Lord, will use it for your good and for your glory. Because you, Lord, are the only one that can take something bad, something not good, and turn it into something amazing. Lord, I pray for our hearts this morning. I pray that you give us boldness to speak the name of Jesus out into this dark world, to speak salvation to a world that needs salvation, to speak a way where they can be found, for the world is lost. And Lord, I pray that every believer in this house today understands that the power of Jesus Christ is greater than any comfort that transcends all understanding. For you, Lord, are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'm going to preach Jimmy's message. So Jimmy has started a series, you guys didn't know, because he doesn't always tell you when he's doing a series. Sometimes he just does a series, and then it's up to you guys to figure it out. But he's doing a series on basically the basics of faith. And he started out with going to church, the importance of going to church. Amen? We ought to know that it is important to be in the house of the Lord every time the doors are open, for the Lord has blessed us with the ability to be able to come to church when that's not everybody's blessing. But we have that blessing. Well, today I want to talk to you about the importance of reading your Bible. And some of you are like, oh no, I don't want to talk about that. But it is important, amen? It's very important to read our Bible. Psalms 119, 89 through 90 say this. Listen to me. The Word of God is eternal. It is amazing. It is life-changing. It is solid. It's something that can be trusted in. The Word of God will never come back void in your life. It's something you can have faith in, because it's the one thing that will stay constant in your life, because it is unchanging and it's uncorruptible. Amen, church? Do you know that today? See, we live in a world where we have so much access to the Word of God. Many of you are using your phones right now with just about every translation that's ever been. You have it at your fingertips. But when I was doing some studying, I seen this little survey. It showed that the average Christian has about, they give a point, but they have about four Bibles. They own four Bibles in their home. That's quite a few Bibles. I think I own probably like eight Bibles, all that have different commentaries, all different translations, right? We're pretty blessed to have the Word of God. But let me just say that we aren't using it, not like we're supposed to. You think something so precious as the Word of God would be something that we'd want to pick up every day of our life. But many of us haven't picked it up at all, or let alone every day of our life. See, there's a song that I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it, but there's a new song that's out on the radio. Many of you probably have heard it. It's called Dusty Bibles. The song goes like this, just a little piece of it. It says, we have dust on our Bibles and we have brand new iPhones. Dust on our Bibles, but we have brand new iPhones. No, I'm spacing. Someone know it? No wonder. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. No wonder why we feel this way. That's pretty amazing lyric. Why? Because it's true. Many people are sad. Many people are depressed. Many people have no joy in their life. Many people are looking for guidance. Many people are looking for salvation because they're lost. They don't know which way to go, but they're not picking up their Bibles. They're not seeing what God says. They're not seeing what the Lord wants them to do in their life. They're not being convicted of their sin because they're not in their Bible. They're not being corrected of their sin because they're not in their Bible. They're not getting involved in church because they're not in their Bible. They don't know what God wants for them because they're not in their Bible. So let me ask you this morning, are you reading your Bible and are you doing what it says? For the Bible is eternal, right? The Word of God is eternal. It is everlasting. It is useful and it's beneficial for all types of things, for training up in righteousness. This is what the Bible says. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we're going to be this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to be in a lot of different places, so bear with me. It's a little bit different of a style than I normally do, but we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 8 and list a little bit of context. They've been in captivity for years, 70 plus years. They've been in captivity. First, Ezra comes back and builds the temple. Then there was this long period of about 13, 14 years where they did nothing. And then Nehemiah comes on the scene and said, "We got to build these walls." And then that's what they do. They build the walls. It takes them a little while, but they are able to build it. And when they finished building the walls, what I want us to understand about Nehemiah 8 is that they needed to be built up. Not the physical walls, but the walls of their heart. And we're going to find out exactly how they were able to do that. Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in verse 1, it says, "When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra and the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and women and others who could understand, and all the people listened intently to the book of the law." Here we see that the people had a desire to know the word of God, a desire to understand it, a desire to listen to it, a desire to hear it. Now think about it. They've been in captivity for years. They haven't had access to the word of God. They couldn't meet together. They couldn't do those things, but now they're finally together, all as one, and Ezra gets up to read the law. See, there was a deep desire to read the Word of God. And this should be us, amen? We should have a deep desire in the house of the Lord. It shouldn't be to hear a person. It shouldn't be for a fancy light show or any other thing because you want to hear your favorite song. None of those things. It should be because you want to have a desire to hear the Word of God. It shouldn't matter if I'm preaching the Word. It shouldn't matter if Jimmy's preaching the Word. It shouldn't matter whoever's up here, as long as the Word of God has the power to change your life. But the Word of God has the power to change your life. And praise the Lord that we have it, amen? And this, what was amazing about all this is that it's not just the priests, it's not just the religious leaders, it's not just the high up who came and listened to the word of God. No, it was men, it was women, and it says all who could understand. Well, what does that mean? It means children as well. Children came to hear the word of God. See, I think sometimes we think the word of God is too advanced for children, too complicated, too hard to understand. And are there some things in the Bible that maybe children would struggle with understanding? Absolutely. But can I tell you, every child needs to know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Every child needs to know that God loves them. Every child needs to know that God created the whole world. Every child needs to know this. And where do you find that? You find it in the Word of God. See, church, we should be teaching our children the Word of God. And He's the one who can save me from my sins. He's the one who loves me. He's the one who gives me what I don't deserve. It is Him and Him alone. And where do you find it? You find it in the Word of God. And what I think is baffling to me about all this, these first three verses, is how long did they do this? They did it from noon from daybreak until noon. That's roughly about 6 hours. Many times we can't be here for 1 hour, let alone 6 hours. 6 hours they listened intently to the Word of God. 6 hours. See, they weren't doing some drive-through, get my fix, come here. I hear the Word of God and then I go about and do my own thing. They had a desire to be serious about the Word of God. To take this book serious. To take the Word of God serious. See, many of us can't even give 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day, and we wonder why we are where we are at in our walk with His Word. See, not only did they want to hear it, it says there at the end is that all the people listened intently to the book of the law. Right? They didn't just want to hear some words. They listened intently. It means they were paying attention. They weren't sleeping. They weren't doing whatever they wanted to do. They weren't playing on their phones. They were listening intently. Why? It's because they understood how precious that the Word of God really is. See, the Bible says the Word of God is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. Do you think we really treat the Bible that way? That it's sweeter than honey? I eat all the time, but I'm gonna be honest, I don't read the Bible as much as I eat. They wanted to hear it. Why? Why did they want to hear the Word of God? Well, like I said, as they've been in captivity for years and years and years. Years, they hadn't had something for so long, and then finally you get to read it. Finally, you get to hear the very words of the living God. The one that your ancestors had been talking about, the God who rescued us from Egypt and the manna in heaven and the promised land. That God, you finally get to hear the very words of God read to you. Of course you're going to listen intently, right? Because it actually means something to you. And I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Does the Word of God actually mean something to you? Do you care about it? Do you long for it? Do you desire after it? See, they wanted to hear because they understood how precious it was. In church, I wonder if we realize the very same thing. Verse 4, it says, Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Besides him, on his right stood, all right, bear with me, church. There's a lot of names here. Beside him, on his right, stood Hashabedan, Zechariah, and Mishalem. A lot of hard names there. I guarantee I probably said every single one of them wrong. But the Lord knows, but it's very important too. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And he opened it, and the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord, with their faces to the ground. Here, I think this part is so amazing, because not only did they listen to the Word of God or hear the Word of God, but it shows us how they responded to it. Right, that's pretty important. It's not only important to hear and listen, but it's important how you respond to the Word of God. Well, how do they respond? Well, number one, the people respond in reverence. Every time that the Word of God was read, they stood up. Now remember, they did this for it was opened and read. They did this for a long time. And see, why did they do this? Because they understood that the Word of God is holy. The Bible, what's in it, the very words, the Word of God, is a holy, holy thing. Why is it holy? Because God is holy. See, God calls us to be holy. God's Word is holy. They're not just words on a page. See, that's what I think part of our problem, church, is when we get to read the Bible, is that we really think that these are just words on a page. This is as simple as I'm reading a normal book, you know, a normal novel. It's not the same thing. It's actually not even close to the same thing. For these are the very words of God. They had reverence. They cared about it. They cared about what it said because it came from our Father in heaven. It came from their Father in heaven. It comes from our Father in heaven. And number two, they responded in worship, right? It says they fell face down and they praised God. Well, why did they do this? Why did they praise God? Listen to what Ezra says here. It is so amazing. It says here, Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And when he opened, all the people stood up, and Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands, and they fell face down, all the things that I had just read. See, this is important because this is part of worship. Listening to the Word of God is part of worship. Singing the songs we just sang is also part of worship. But also reading the Word of God should be a deep desire within you to worship the living God. Because again, you know that they don't come from a mean God. They come from the great God. They come from the Savior. They come from a loving God who has created the world. He has done so much for us. And see, that's what they understood, church. They understood that these very words came from the God who rescued them from Egypt. It came from the God who's been with them from every step of the way, who's fought for them, fought ahead of them, has been surrounding them, has led them through the wilderness. They understood it came far as the east is from the west. And when you come at it with that perspective, church, the Word of God begins to jump out at you because you know it comes from a loving God, a good God, a God who alone deserves our worship, who has done so much for us. See, when we hear the Word, we ought to worship. We ought to lift our hands up, knowing that it comes from the Almighty, who is rich in mercy and abounding in grace. Amen, church? I hope you know that today. I hope you know that this morning, that it comes from the living God, who abounds in mercy and abounds in grace. Verse 7, it says, the Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozbad, Hanum, and Peliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing here. They read the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. What is happening here? But to understand it. They actually wanted to know what it said. Right? They took the extra step. What was the extra step? Is they had teachers go around helping the people understand it. How did they do that? I have no idea. Did the teachers just go around asking, do you understand this? Do you understand this? Maybe. Did they get in groups of people, maybe 50, 100 people, and they had a teacher over them to explain it? I have no idea. No idea how they did it. But what I do know is they had teachers who were willing to help them understand it. Pastors, teachers are so valuable in the church. Amen? I hope you know that. I hope you know that it is a blessing from the Lord because it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to shepherd the people and to teach. It's a very valuable gift because let me tell you, if listening to the Word of God is great, hearing the Word of God is great, but if you don't understand it, it's not you. You have to first know what it's talking about. See, sometimes what does that mean? Sometimes it means that you got to take the next step. Sometimes that means you have to do a little bit of digging. Sometimes that means you got to do a Bible study. Sometimes that means you have to pray before you read your Bible. Sometimes it means all of those things in order that you may understand it more and more. Again, I'll say, if you don't understand something, we're going to have a hard time applying it to our lives. You're going to have a hard time. Verse 9, it says, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying that had been made known to them. See, I find this part so interesting. Why? Because it shows what the Word of God does in our life. What does it do? It convicts and it corrects in our life. That is one of the main purposes of the Word of God in our life, is to convict us and to correct us. And praise the Lord that God does not just convict us and say how bad we are, but He shows us how to be better. He shows us how to live like Christ. He shows us how to live righteously. See, the Word convicts and it corrects. And see, this is what the people realize. What did they do? It says they wept and they mourned. Why? Because they begin to understand how sinful they had been. How messed up they had been. How tough and things like that they had been. How rebellious they had been. And see, sometimes, church, I think we shy away from the Word because we're afraid that it's going to convict our life. When the Word of God convicts our life, see, what we do, our sins, the things, the wrong that we do in life should move us to weeping and mourning, right? It should break our hearts. Realizing that I'm a sinner, that I have fallen away, that I've been rebellious should break our heart. But what I find amazing is that the leaders tell them, do not mourn, do not weep, do not grieve. For this day is holy. for this day is holy. See, not obeying the word, sinning, should break our hearts because it leads to correction. When our heart breaks, when we understand we've been sinners, that is what leads to correction. And what I find so amazing about all this, church, is that even though sin should break our hearts, listen to me closely, even though sin should break our hearts, if that is all it does, then it's doing nothing. We're getting nowhere. If we wallow in our sin and we don't take the next step to correction, and we don't, that is what exactly they're telling the people. Don't weep. Don't mourn. Take the next step. Do what the Word of God says. Rejoice. And not only that, knowing that, listen to me, church, knowing that I am a sinner breaks my heart. But that sorrow does not trump my joy knowing that Jesus is my Savior. I hope you know that, because if you stay in this mindset that I'm a sinner and I can't get nowhere, I'm no good for nothing, how on earth are you ever going to realize the joy of the Lord? And then the people can say, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is the strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you have no strength. You have no power to walk in this hard world. You need the joy of the Lord. Where does it come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. Knowing that I'm a sinner, but being joyful knowing that Jesus Christ has saved my life. We should find joy that God is doing a good work in me. When we're being convicted of sin, when God is saying, no, don't do this, don't go this way, repent of work. Correction is a good work in our life. And the people began to rejoice. What's it say in verse 12? It says, then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known for them. There was a joy when they began to understand finally what the Word of God says. And that should be the same thing in our life. We should begin to be joyful knowing that finally I understand the very words of God. Finally I understand I'm a sinner. Finally I understand that Jesus is my Savior. Right? There should be a great joy in understanding that. And that should be our response to the precious Word of God. A great joy that leads to strength, church. A great joy that leads to strength in our life. Verse 13 says, on the second day of the month, the heads of all the families along with the priests and the Levites gathered around Ezra the teacher to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law which the Lord had commanded through Moses and the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival. And from myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make temporary shelters as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches to build themselves temporary shelters of their own on their own roofs and their courtyards in the courts of their house of God in the square by the water gate and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua son of Nun until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. Maybe you're asking, what on earth does all of this mean? What on earth is going on? What is happening in all of this? See, I find this part so awesome. Because it shows that when they saw what they weren't doing, they decided to do it. Well, what was it? It means that they said they weren't keeping one of the festivals. One of the festivals they were supposed to be keeping. What was the tents? Set up tents as they went on their way, right? This was supposed to get them back in the mindset of understanding that it is the Lord who brought you out of this. What did they have to do? Like I said, they had to go out. Go find some olive trees. Go get some branches. They had to set up the branches. They had to make their own temporary shelters. Leave their homes and live in these temporary shelters for a week. Why were they not keeping it? Because nobody wanted to do that. Nobody did. Why did they not keep this festival like they were supposed to? Because they didn't want to get up. They didn't want to go and get the leaves, get the branches, make their temporary shelters, leave the comfort of their home. And stay in these little shacks. They didn't want to do it. And this is the same thing for us, church. What does this show me? Is that they were not just hearers of the word, but they were doers of it. They took it serious. They listened. They understood to do it. That's not something I would want to do. But they did it anyways. Why? Because the word of God won't profit us unless we're willing to do what it says. Did you hear me, church? The Word of God, how amazing that it is, will not profit anyone unless he's willing to do what it says. They understood how valuable the Word of God was, and how valuable, even when they didn't want to, even when it was inconvenient, to do what it says, because that's when your life begins to change, church. That's when your life begins to change, when you're willing to do the things you don't want to do because the Lord wants you to do it. Maybe you're asking, well, why is the Word of God profitable? Why read it? What makes the Word of God profitable? I want to give you 10 things this morning. You can write these 10 things down that the Word of God does in our life. Number one is the Word of God brings joy. Psalms 19:8 says the precepts of the Lord are much, it brings happiness to our life, but even so much more than that is a happiness that can sustain even through the hardest of times. That is what the Word of God does in our life. Many people are searching for joy. Many people are sad, are depressed, have anxiety, all those different types of things, church. But where do you find joy at? You find it in the Word of God. See, the world is looking for it. They're longing for it, but they'll only find it in the Word of God. And when you only pick it up 15 minutes, no wonder we're not as joyful as we should be. And number two, the Word of God brings healing. Psalms 107:20 says, He sent out His Word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. See, God is the mighty healer. Amen, church? Can I get an amen? God is the mighty healer, and you will only find healing in the Word of God. Healing from your heart, physical healing, whatever it may be, it starts with the Word of God, because it is His words who has created the whole world. And if He can, by His own words, create where we live, where we go, everything you see. Healing. A lot of people have broken hearts. A lot of people are struggling. A lot of people have pain. Wow, we should be reading our Bible more and more if the Word of God really brings healing to our life. I love what it says at the end of that verse. He says He rescued them from the grave. Even He brings healing, even when it seems like it's the last point. When it seems like you're about to fall into the pit, that's when the Word of God brings healing to our life. And number three, the Word of God brings answered prayers. John 15:7 says, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It is the Word of God where we find answers to our prayers. Many times we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're looking for this special sign for the Lord, from the Lord, that I'm waiting for the Lord to answer me. I'm waiting for Him to do something or do this amazing sign. But let me tell you where you can find answers to your prayers. You can find it in the Word of God. For Jesus Himself says, If you remain in me and I in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a pretty bold statement. Sometimes we're waiting for a vision or a dream, or we're waiting for this audible voice from the Lord. God has already written to you. God has already given His Word. Now, does He do those things? Absolutely, He does those things. But if you want to find answers to your prayers, you'll find it in the very words of God. Number four, it says the Word of God gives direction. Psalms 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. It is God's Word who gives us direction. It gives us guidance. It shows us which way to go. Many people are lost. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to run. They don't know what God wants them to do in their life. But praise the Lord that His Word is a lamp. Praise the Lord that He is a light on my path. That I know where to go if I'm in the Word of God. I know what direction to go in my life. I know how to stay on the right path because it will be found in the Word of God. And it can only be done. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That is what the Word of God does in our life. It convicts, it corrects, it shows us where we've been wrong, and praise the Lord for that. And maybe you're asking, well, why is that important? It's just as important as you going to the doctor to get a checkup. So many times we need to go to the Word of God for our heart to get a checkup. Amen, church? Sometimes we're not in the right place. Sometimes we're not doing what we're supposed to, and we find that out by reading the Word of God, by looking at the Word of God, listening to the Word of God. Number six says the Word of God leads to holiness. Holiness. Psalms 119:9 says, How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Many people are trying to live the right way. Many people are trying to live holy lives, righteous lives, but they're not living us the right way. It shows us how to live holy lives. God calls us to live holy lives, and that is impossible to do without living out God's word in our life. Number seven, the word of God helps us flee temptation. Psalms 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." Many of us fall to sin every single day. Every single day we fall to temptation. We fall to the desires of our heart, the sinful desires of our heart. Why? Because we haven't hidden his word in our heart. You know, it is pretty difficult to sin if you're reading your Bible. I'm not saying it's impossible, because we do lots of things we're not supposed to do. But I've encouraged many people to, if there's an urge in your life, a desire you want to do away, and you begin to focus on what God wants you to do. Resisting temptation becomes easier when the word is in our heart. That doesn't just mean read it. It does mean that. But most of us don't like to talk about this, but we should probably memorize some scripture. You may be in a place where I don't have the Bible in my hands. I don't have my phone in my hands. I'm about to do something I'm not supposed to do. Have the word hidden in your heart so that you may be reminded what is good and what is right. Number eight, the word of God brings blessings in our life. Luke 11:28 says, Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." God sees our faithfulness when we read the Bible, and God blesses us for it. God sees us reading the word and applying it to our life, trying to understand it, taking the next step, doing a little bit more, and he blesses the church. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." This is what the word of God does, amen. This is something we should rejoice at, something that we should know, that salvation comes from the living word of God. You've been born again by the imperishable seed, the living word of God. It is in the word of God that you understand that I am a sinner, but it is also in the word of God where you know who your Savior is, where you know where your salvation is. It is in the very words of God that you know I've been saved, that God has come down in Jesus Christ, who's died for my sins, bled on a cross, and raised on the third day. Where do you find that? Did a pastor just make it up? No, you find it in the very words of God. You find it in the Bible. You find it in God's word. And number 10, listen to it very closely, because I think many people struggle with this every single day. Even as John 5:13 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." How can someone know that they have eternal life? Because God says that you have eternal life. How do you know that God has saved you? Because God has said that he has saved you. Sometimes we might get into a tough spot in our life. Sometimes we may feel like I'm not saved. Sometimes we may feel like I'm not forgiven. Sometimes we feel that we may be far from the Lord, and God doesn't love us anymore, and God doesn't want us anymore. Sometimes we feel like we haven't been forgiven. But praise the Lord that by the word of God, we know it. Praise the Lord that by the word of God, we can know we have salvation, so that we can be assured and we can have a living hope. Not a wishful hope, a hope that you think, oh, maybe I'll get there someday, but a real hope, a hope of assurance that the word of God, God himself says I'm saved, and he doesn't go back on his word. For God is always faithful, and he cannot deny himself. A lot. There's a whole psalm. Psalms 119 talks about the word of God. Read it. I encourage you to read it. You're going to find out what the word of God really does in your life. Longest chapter in the whole Bible. Verse 18, back in Nehemiah chapter 8. It says, "Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festivals for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly." Why did I talk about this? Why did I not stop at verse 17? Because here we see the people rejoicing. Why? Because of the word of God. They had joy because of the word of God. They didn't stop. They didn't stop reading it. Ezra kept reading it for the whole festival. He got up and kept opening up the book of the law. Kept opening up the word of God. And why is this important, church? Is it should motivate us to never stop reading it and fill up your life. For that is what the word of God should do in our life. The word of God does so many amazing things, as we just saw. See, church, if you want this church to grow in its walk with the Lord, it starts with the Word of God. And if you, church, if you want to grow in your walk with the Lord and you think you're going to get there by not reading your Bible, by not living it out, you won't get there. You won't. It is by the Word of God we draw closer to the Lord. It is by the Word of God we get close with the Lord. It starts with the Word of God. See, some of us here probably need to crank up our Bibles. We need to crank up reading it, crank up studying it, understanding it. Some of us here need to start not being just hearers of the Word, but doers. Many people about it. They were just hearers of the Word and not doers. We ought to be doers of the Word. And maybe you struggle reading it. I've heard that many, many times. I just struggle reading the Bible. It's just hard to read. Well, ask the Lord for a greater desire to read the Word, and I promise you, He'll give it to you. When you get serious about it and you ask the Lord, Lord, I want to read your Bible. I want to read your words more and more in my life. I want a better desire. I feel like I don't have a desire to read it. Ask the Lord to give you a desire, and He'll give you a desire for it. God blesses those who are faithful to His Word. His Word. Be faithful believers who read the Bible, who find joy in it, who worship because of it. For God's Word, again, I'll say, I feel like I have to say it again just to sink it in for all of us to understand. For the Word of God shows us God. God tells you you're a child of God. So let me ask you again, church, very simple, but very important and very powerful. Are you reading your Bibles? Are you reading the Word of God like you should? Let's stand, church. The altar is open for you. Maybe you need to come down here.